It's 2:06 on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC, broadcasting live in exile from my living room in Palm Springs, California. And it's time to open up the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wags at the sports desk in Culver City.
John, the warden just wrapped up a press conference where he says he's going to pull out all the stops to make sure that California is not overwhelmed by wildfires this summer. What's different about this year than last year or the year before or the year before that, I wonder?
You know, if we had a recall last year, maybe all those people in paradise wouldn't have been burned alive. I'm just saying. 800-222-KABC is the phone number, 1-800-222-5222. It is a pleasure to welcome our next guest to the program. He is a very fair-minded civil rights defense attorney whose podcast you can get at KABC.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Mr. Leo Terrell, how are you?
How dare you have me on this program? I'm sorry. I thought I was arguing with Geraldo. Sorry. How dare you?
John, that Phillip, went everywhere,
going,
Leo.
This world's going crazy, John Phillips. How dare you live in Palm Springs? How dare you?
Are you going to ask me when's the last time I've been to Palm Springs?
Yeah. My gosh, John Phillips, glad to be on a good talk radio program. Glad to be
well,
here.
Well, thank you. We're happy to have you with us today, Leo. And you referenced the television hit that happened earlier today with Geraldo. Let's go ahead and listen.
St. Louis. You have 48% white, 45% black. And the newly elected mayor, we wish her the very best of luck with her policy. Leo, here's the question. She said, I appreciate the role of white allies in this movement of progress. I don't believe that they have the lived experience to lead a majority-minority city. Okay, so she said that. This will be an interesting social experience or perhaps even an experiment.
That is the most insulting, racist comment. You know what she's saying? She's saying, because you're white, you don't understand what we as black people go through regarding crime. That makes the assumption then that Joe Biden doesn't know. To say that she is basically in a better position because she's black is insulting, is racist, and it makes no sense whatever. I reject that argument.
Hey, Leo,
that
when was the last time you were in the ghetto? Wait a second.
Well, how dare you say that, sir? I lived right near the Coliseum. That's where I was born.
I'm from Avenue C, dude.
How dare you say that?
That knowledge I have is helpful.
Insulting.
That knowledge that I have from my background
what
is helpful.
What are you trying to draw?
Geraldo, do you think?
Let her try.
What are you trying to
Let her try to...
How
Let her try a kinder approach.
That?
Maybe
you know,
it'll
Bill,
work.
You know what he,
we certainly have
You know what Bill just accused me of?
Okay.
Bill, you know what Geraldo accused me of? He accused me of living in a particular area that I don't understand. How dare you? I've been a civil rights attorney for 30 years. I have fought against
All
discrimination
right,
for 30 years.
Okay,
Check
John.
Jesus
How on
dare
earth.
You? How dare you?
Listen,
yeah.
fabulous.
I love you both.
How dare
yep,
you?
No, wait, let, guys, hey, we started out in a moment
How dare
of peace.
You?
That moment is fleeting. We'll try again next week. Thank you, Leo.
I don't think it's fleeting. I think it fleeted.
How dare you, John, to play that on the air on the John Phillips Show, the show of rational thought. How dare you? John, let me tell you right now. This country has gone sideways. Everything is racist. And that mayor says to white people, oh, I'm in a better position to know about black crime. I mean, John, everything is racism. Everything is this country is no, I wouldn't say this country. There's a particular party obsessed with race. It's amazing. I'm never in my life, every day, every issue, evergreen trees in Portland, racist. It's crazy. It really, really is.
Well, how about the Department of Transportation saying the freeway grid is racist?
Yeah, I heard that statement. Everything is racist. Hey, I'm racist. You're racist. This state, how dare you? I can't, John, seriously, as a civil rights attorney for 30 years, I've never seen it as divided. People just say racist, and it freezes the other side. It freezes corporations. That's what's happening. That's what's happening in Georgia. these, you know, school districts in California are accusing kids who want to go back to school as being racist. It's crazy, John. Seriously, never, never.
When did everything become racial? Because it used to be based on class. Take the freeways, for example. And as an attorney, you know this better than anyone in the audience. When freeways were put in California, largely in the 60s when Pat Brown was governor, what they did was they came up with a grid. And it's actually a fascinating map to take a look at. Santa Monica Boulevard was supposed to be a freeway. La Cienega Boulevard was supposed to be a freeway. They never got completed, but that was what the intention was. Mm-hmm. And what they did was they used eminent domain and they built freeways where they could. Mm-hmm. And the rich people all lawyered up because they didn't want freeways coming to their communities. So they tied everything up in the court, citing environmental reasons. That's what happened, isn't it? It's about people with money who could use attorneys to shut the process down.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, there is a tremendous amount of influence based on economics, based on wealth. You could tie up projects. You could tie up anything in a court of law. When you sign up for a lawsuit, you're looking at 3 or 4 years of tying it up, hopefully to wear the other side down. And that is absolutely correct.
What do you make of what's going on at the border? Because it's clearly chaotic. You listen to the interviews with the immigrants themselves, and they say they're coming here because Joe Biden was elected, and they think that they'll be welcomed in the United States because Biden promised open borders. And Biden's team is saying it's racist to call it a crisis. It's not a crisis. We got it under control. Kamala Harris is our point person. Nothing to see there.
John, I'll tell you right now, you know, the hatred of Donald Trump by the Democrats and his success at the border drove Joe Biden on day one of his presidency to undo border security. And then when you talk about the silence from a person like AOC, who then plays a race card and said, oh, this is not a problem. And, you know, these children coming over here, it's not a problem. The Democratic Party have enriched the drug cartels, the child smuggling cartels, everyone. And then, listen, Kamala Harris, John, will never get to the border. Why? She went to the Willie Brown School of Politics. It's not in her best interest. This is a woman who compared ICE to the KKK. And instead of going down to the border, she's at bakery stores. She's in Connecticut. She's everywhere else except the border. You know why? Because she knows it's a loser. And she is not going to risk her political future, which in my opinion is over in 4 years. On a project such as the border, trying to defend what's going on down there. It's a disaster. It's a total disaster solely because the Democrats are trying to undo the success of Donald Trump.
Locally here in Los Angeles, our district attorney's office is under fire from within, from the George Soros-funded of George Gascon, who's now the elected district attorney. The sheriff's department is under fire. And I want to play some sound for you of newly elected LA County Supervisor Holly Mitchell, who said one of the more outrageous things any local politician has said in a very long time, which is saying a whole lot. She, of course, has been a longtime critic of the district attorney's office, a longtime critic of the LA County Sheriff's Office. She was speaking on an online forum for BLM, where she was certainly unloading on both of those institutions. And as soon as we can look, we got it. All right, let's go ahead and listen.
I wanted to say, Supervisor Solis talked about, you know, the state legislature. And I have to say that, you know, over the course of 10 years, the legislature has stepped up to the plate in a powerful and meaningful way. We've won more than we've lost. A few bills didn't come out at the end as strong as we'd wanted them, but we've won more than we've lost. And law enforcement and the District Attorney's Association and the Sheriff's Association, who just when you look at who represents them in Sacramento, is clearly such white supremacist organizations. They know that they've lost more than they've won. And I think that's what then amplifies their behavior against you at the community level, and what they will continue to amplify in terms of their animus against policymakers who've come for them.
In her mind, Leo, the LA DA's office, LA Sheriff's Department, are white supremacist organizations.
It is what I said to you at the outset of this program, John. This is unbelievable. She just threw the L.A. Sheriff Department, Police Department, under the bus, accusing them of being Bull Connor 1960 Alabama. Does she know the ethnicity of the police department? This is not 1960. And for her to make those comments, let me tell you right now, there's a lot of Democrats who are listening to this program. You know, last year, they tried to pass Prop 16, affirmative action, in the bluest state, California. I was in the committee opposing that. It lost. It lost. People don't want the race card, even in the bluest state. But when Holly Mitchell is talking to extremists like Black Lives Matter and plays the deepest race card and throw those individuals under the bus, this is racism from minorities against white people. And I don't understand it, but it's a winning formula because it resonates with the left. And I don't get it. They're just eating each other up. Because, John, the basis of the argument that I had this morning was in San Luis was a black mayor saying white people don't know how black people experience crime. Crazy. Irrational. No logic. No facts. Just throwing bombs. It's crazy. I didn't intend to be a civil rights attorney to put one race against another. And that's what's happening right now, John, and it's very serious.
You know, it's funny. Whenever there's a trial that's going on that generates a lot of attention, the question that's usually asked is, do you think the jury's going to come back by voting guilty or not guilty? Or I guess they could be a hung jury.
Right.
There is the trial that's going on right now in Minneapolis regarding the officer who's being tried for the death of George Floyd. And the question that pops up for that trial is not, do you think it's going to be guilty or not guilty? The question that keeps coming up is Minneapolis going to burn?
Oh,
what do you see happening in that trial?
Well, exactly. Thank you for that question. First of all, let me answer the first one. Will Minneapolis burn? In my opinion, I hate to say this, regardless of the outcome, there's going to be riots. Regardless of the outcome. Why do I say that? If he's acquitted, riots. If it's a hung jury, riots. If he's not given the highest charge of second-degree murder, riots. Even if he gets second-degree murder, riots. And it's going to be excused by the left. It's going to be excused by the Democratic Party if there's riots. Because, honestly, this whole racial divide came about, in my opinion, as a strategy as a result of the George Floyd death. And they used the George Floyd death for the Black Lives Matter to raise $90 million, and you don't know where that money's at, for the Democrats to play the race card. Look, in my opinion, the officer did something wrong. Whether or not the charges will fit the crime that he did, I don't know. But I tell people this over and over again. That video is horrific, John, and there's a video. But there was a video in the Rodney King first trial. And you saw what happened there. So my point is, all the defense needs is just one juror to hang up a verdict, and you know that's not out of the realm of a possibility.
What do you think happens if the prosecutor gets everything he wants?
If the prosecutor gets a second degree murder charge and gets everything he wants, people are going to riot in celebration. Call it whatever you want. They'll use the verdict as a basis to riot. I don't understand it. It's illogical, but you know they're going to do it anyway. But I don't see a second degree murder charge.
It's looking increasingly likely like the recall is going to qualify for the ballot for California Warden Gavin Newsom. Caitlyn Jenner said earlier this week she's thinking about running. What do you think about Caitlyn Jenner as governor of California?
A disaster. I don't want a reality star to be governor. I have been on TV, John, and I have been on national TV programs at least three different times. And I want Republicans who are listening to Leo Terrell right now to hear me very clear. I'm not a country club Republican. I'm not a rhino. I'm a Trump Republican. There's only one Republican, and I've been on the show with him, that I would support right now. That's Rick Grenell. I would not support anyone else. I tell people don't call me because the answer is no. I don't want traditional Republicans. I don't want a Mitch McConnell. If Grinnell runs, fine. If we had a clone of Ron DeSantis, I would support him 24/7. But other than those two individuals, there's no one. And, you know, this, as you guys were talking about Gavin Newsom, you know, all of a sudden things are opening up now. And, boy, that recall has a big, big impact on Newsom's attitude now. I just hope it's not all for naught. We get a viable, strong candidate to defeat Newsom or to win this recall.
Leo, you've worked in California politics for a long time in a variety of positions. You know this state like the back of your hand. People get upset at me when I say this, but I believe it to be true, and I'm curious to see what you think about it. There are no circumstances in my mind where a John Cox of the world can win a statewide election in the state of California. You got to go beyond that base, and you got to get other people, and you have to have a candidate that captures the imagination of the public the way that Arnold Schwarzenegger did when he ran in the recall election. And if you run the same old losers, it's not going to happen.
I mean, that's a no-brainer. You're 100% correct. I agree with you 100% correct. Anyone who gets upset with you is being naive. They got to focus on the big prize. If you want to win, as you just articulated, you got to get the right candidate who resonates beyond a traditional base. And if they're getting upset with you because you're just telling the truth, I agree with you 100%. Let them get mad, because if you want the end result of a victory, you pick a qualified candidate who's going to appeal across the board. This recall, John, is across the board. It includes Democrats, independents, Republicans, people work at barbershops, hair salons, bakeries. California is upset with Gavin Newsom, not just Republicans, but the entire state. And he tried to characterize this as an extremist right-wing recall petition. No, this is California. I said it over and over again. Only time in my life I wanted to leave California, and that's because of Gavin Newsom's handling of this pandemic. It's horrific. It's embarrassing.
What do you make of their strategy? They're saying this is really about abortion. This is really about drilling for oil off the California coast. This is really about a whole bunch of things that it's not about. It's about shutting the schools down. It's about him going to the French Laundry when he locked the rest of us inside. It's about him not allowing people to go to work and lawfully operate their businesses. People are furious over that. But he keeps saying over and over and over again that it's about all of these subjects that it's not about. Do you believe if he says it enough, people will begin to believe it, or he'll just look like he's totally out of step with the state?
I think there's a disconnect. I think he's surrounded by an inner circle who is trying to, you know, pump him up and try to portray the anger of this state in a manner that is not true. People are truly upset. When I get a haircut, I hear the barber telling me, you know, Newsom did a, you know, just hurt his business. They're not going to be tricked by some type of Democratic PR spin. No, no, no. People are legitimately upset and angry over his leadership over the last 15, 16 months. And when they look to other states, they know that Gavin Newsom and the entire Democratic Party, including that fake doctor in the county of L.A., they lied about following the science. They actually lied to the Californians, and you don't lie to the voters.
Leo Terrell, the very fair-minded civil rights defense attorney, host of
How
the
dare
Leo
you?
Terrell Podcast,
How dare you?
Fox
How dare
News
you say
contributor,
that?
Geraldo Rivera fighter, Leo Terrell.
Thank you, John. Thanks for having me.
All right, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on. It's 2:25. Let's take a look at the roads. Live on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. So earlier in the show, we were talking about this forum that the Sacramento Press Club put on with supporters of the recall of Warden Newsom and supporters of the warden. And we told you that things got kind of nasty between some of the participants, mainly because A. Smith, who's one of Newsom's top aides or top strategists, is, how would you describe him, Randy?
Catty.
Very, very, very catty.
Although I gotta say, from every voice that I've heard in this forum, I think the job requirement to be a political strategist is to be a little catty.
Oh, the kiddies like to scratch. One of the questions that came up was, are there any candidates out there that the Newsom people are worried about?
And by the way, the ABC reporter that is asking the questions here, she drops a bomb on someone that's going to be running.
2003, it was a circus. We had so many different types of people jumping in. Mary Carey, the porn star, told me she's gearing up to jump in again. Obviously, that's not a serious candidate, but does that help or hurt when it becomes kind of a circus like that? And who are you most worried about jumping in? What kind of person? Is it a celebrity, a business person?
We're not worried at all because we're going to beat the recall, period. The other side would like to sow doubt and confusion. And we, again, I would say, we believe this is a very clear choice. And we believe that this is a choice between turning California into another version of Donald Trump's America with hate and division, turning back the clock on all these important things that we've achieved in this state with the environment, around issues of diversity, around issues of higher educational achievement, very profound things. And we can turn the clock back or we can go forward. And that's the question at hand. And no matter how much the other side tries to say fringe elements, the fringe elements are right in the front office. And not only is the door wide open, there's a red carpet rolled out for them.
Boy, it's not just the warden who won't answer any questions. I guess the strategist won't either.
Well, this is where the warden gets this strategy from of just keep saying the same thing over and over and over again, even though it doesn't connect with people. Now, John, did you see that little piece of news that was broken there? Mary Carey's running again.
Well, I have a feeling she won't be the only porn star on the ballot. Maybe Katie Hill will run.
I told you last week, right, that somebody, we don't know who, and might be a joke, registered the domain katiehillforgovernor.com.
So we could have two porn stars, or maybe a third. I hear Katie likes those. Another subject that came up at this forum was whether or not Warden Newsom would put California on lockdown again. Let's listen.
I want to ask this Facebook question because I think it's interesting. Granted, the recent news, you know, yesterday Newsom's administration announced plans to fully reopen the economy by June 15th. Granted, hospitalizations stay low and vaccine supply stays consistent. Jeremy White asks, if coronavirus cases rise again and Governor Newsom needs to reimpose restrictions after that announcement, what does that mean for his prospects in a recall if we have to go back to restrictions again? Ace, would you like to take that?
Sure. I mean, the governor, Gavin Newsom, has made it very clear that he is going to make decisions based upon data and science, something that was sorely missing in this country and something which is sorely missing from the folks who are behind the recall, who are made up of a bunch of anti-vaxxers and other deniers. Let's be clear. He's a courageous politician. He's done a number of things over his career and probably things that the other side disagrees with, such as being one of the first people in the country to really say that it was all right that people can get married, even if they're the same sex. Taking on the gun manufacturers when he was lieutenant governor, he's not afraid of anything. He will do what's right. And again, look at what's happening now. California has now administered 20 plus million vaccinations and has the lowest positivity rate in the nation. That's something, frankly, if we were pulling together and not just spewing division and hate, would be something that we should all be proud of.
So if you don't go with the Gavin Newsom storyline, you're sowing hate and division in the state of California.
If Gavin Newsom put you out of business, you're the one being divisive.
You're hateful, too. And probably sexist and racist and everything else. So the question was about lockdowns, and the answer was about gay marriage and guns. Linear thinking isn't one of his strong suits, I take it. The question also came up about whether or not this is a referendum on Gavin Newsom, and this is when they started going at it.
The other side, and Ann, you are sorely mistaken if you believe that this is a straight-up referendum on Gavin Newsom. Anyone who believes that is sorely mistaken. This is a this will be a debate, and it will be a national debate about which is the direction California should go in. Is it a direction where we are actually caring about our people and taking care of them, or is it a direction where we go towards the division and the hate that we saw in the Trump years? That's the fundamental question. Are we going to go to a world where we're going to try and repeal healthcare, Roe v. Wade, microchip, quote, and these are your words, illegal.
They're not my words. And you're taking them out of context.
Hang on one second. They are your client's words.
They're not my words, and they're not my client.
His words were taken out of context.
They were not taken out of context.
They were absolutely truth boxed. Absolutely what he believes.
You guys had all that taken down.
I can't believe you're denying this.
I can't believe you're making this about Trump. Please let me speak. Trump versus Newsom.
I feel like I'm debating Donald Trump being interrupted.
I feel like I'm debating Bernie Sanders. So you're doing a great job.
Oh my goodness! Well, I'll take Bernie Sanders over Donald Trump any day of the week. Please don't interrupt me like Donald Trump. I know that's a tactic.
Don't accuse me of saying things I've never said.
She handled herself pretty well there.
Well, that's the strategy. You got to stay calm when they're going absolutely nutso. But is the recall of Gavin Newsom a referendum on Gavin Newsom? No, it's not.
And it's got to be difficult to do one of these things over Skype or whatever technology they were using. Because if you've ever had, and I know you've had many of these, Randy, happy hours over the Zoom, sometimes it's hard to hear what people are saying, and there's delays sometimes, and people are talking over each other even when they're not trying to be argumentative. But when someone's accusing you of doing something you didn't do and you want to correct the record, there's just all kinds of crossed wires.
We're really going to get these two on Springer.
Oh, absolutely. Or Steve Wilco. That way they've got a security guard. There was a question about the Newsom strategy of trying to get people who signed the petition to willingly petition to take their name off the petition.
Yeah, this is the new strategy. They have until the end of June, which is what some people say why Newsom's opening up the state on June 15th. You have till the end of June, if you signed the recall, to call them up and say, take my name off of that. I don't believe that anymore. I was misled.
Yeah, good luck with finding anyone who regrets signing that petition, but the question came up, so let's listen.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, I think it's Joe from the Chronicle I'm looking for, but it has to do with this Stop the Steal effort that's just been announced. So I'll put this to you, Katie. This effort to get people to withdraw their signatures, how viable do you think this is? I mean, is this a strategy that's going to work to get this thing to stop?
I don't know if it's a viable strategy or not. I think that if there are people who feel like they were misled somehow into signing these petitions, they should have every right, and they do under the law, have every right to withdraw their name, and they can do that in the time period that's allotted. And if this effort is meant to educate those folks that they have this right to withdraw their name, that's great. I'm completely dubious about the numbers from the yes on recall side, about the number of Democrats, for instance, that and no party preference folks that have signed these petitions. Until we actually see any proof of that, I think we should all be highly skeptical.
I'll tell you what this is, Randy. This is a delay technique. They believe that things will be much better in the state of California in December, January, November, that neighborhood, because we will not be as locked down as we are today. More businesses will be open. Children will be back in school. and life will be back to normal. And if life is back to normal, then there's not going to be the anger that exists today towards the warden 6, 7, 8 months from now. That's the strategy. They don't actually think that people are going to take their names off the list. They can just eat up another 30 days by invoking that rule and attempting to get people to take their names off it. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, and according to the timeline, this thing is going to get at least, at the very least, dragged out till the soonest we'll have an actual election is November. But what makes it super exciting is even like 30 days before that election, you can still put your name on the ballot if you want to run for governor.
Ace Smith was given an opportunity to make a closing statement. Here is Ace trying to close the deal.
This is very simple and stark choice of two very different visions for the future of California. One, that we move forward and that we actually tackle our common problems in a way with some great humanity, or turning back the clock to a different day when we had Prop 187, when people in power were for repealing Roe v. Wade, when environmental concerns were just put off to the side, when criminal justice was the opposite of what it was now. That's what's going to happen, and people will have a clear choice between a bright vision for the future or a vision that is scarred, that we've seen by a Republican Party dominated by Trump. And you can choose to be on the side of right-wing conspiracy theorists or people who actually have a vision to move the state forward together.
Well, they've showed their hand of cards. They're going to portray this recall election as an election about abortion, guns, and the environment, when in fact, it is not about that. It's about the failed leadership of Warden Newsom. Ace Smith knows it. Warden Newsom knows it. And they're doing everything they possibly can to change the subject and make the focus of the election on their opponents and subjects that have nothing to do with the anger that exists in the state of California. It's 2:48. Let's take a look at the roads. It's 2:54 on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Coming up on tomorrow's show, Dr. Kelly Victory will be here to answer your questions on COVID-19, the lockdowns, all points in between. And Dave Berg, former producer of The Tonight Show, he's going to be here to explain just exactly why the late night hosts are no longer making jokes about the president. Ben Shapiro's up next, 790 KABC.